of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Easter season, and in particular the Ascension of the Lord that we celebrate, is supposed to be a day, a celebration of joy and jubilation. Our psalm even jubilantly sings out, God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. But after all that has happened in our nation in such a short time, many of us likely don't feel like rejoicing. So many are still in shock that over the course of only 10 days, 32 people lost their lives in the most tragic way. Perhaps it's even more shocking that it wasn't enough people being killed for their race in Buffalo, but 19 more, just children in the fourth grade, and then their two teachers, a mere 2 days before their summer vacation. So at the outset of this, I do want to make sure you know this homily is not a political statement, no hidden things of any sort. It's not a demand for politicians to act. Action does need to happen, yes, and it doesn't need to involve being a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. It just needs to involve being a human being. These incidences are not inevitable. We don't have to accept them as part of our landscape. We don't have to put up with them. And so we pray for those who do have the power to do something, that the Holy Spirit will guide them, and quickly. All of these deaths were tragic. All of them so sudden that the people who died had no time to prepare for their death. Imagine that. No time to prepare. They died in fear and disbelief, leaving behind grief-stricken family and friends and loved ones. We pray for the repose of their souls and the merciful comfort of their loved ones. I think of our own school here. We just had graduation on Thursday. Our wonderful, smiling students and teachers. I think of the parents of the victims whose lives are forever changed. I think of you, parents and grandparents and family, the fear you must have. I think of my own nieces and nephews. So why is the question? Why did these things happen? Why do people act this way? These are very human questions. It's all part of the mystery of evil, as St. John Paul II liked to call it. And even if, though, in days to come, more explanations and even motives are revealed, ultimately, no answer will suffice, right? Because we're looking for reason for an unreasonable act. We all want some rational explanation when what has happened is precisely irrational. No explanation could possibly satisfy us. What we do know is hate and evil and sin really do exist in this world, in this valley of tears. Sin has so deformed us. This is not the first time we've seen evil like this. It's the same irrational evil of 10 years ago in Newtown, Connecticut, of 9/11 attacks 20 years ago, the same evil of wars past and present, and of what now seems like countless school and other shootings that now form the landscape of our nation. It is the same evil that put God on a cross and refused to recognize his love. Throughout time, in response to God's beautiful love, we see that some people choose hate. It is not rational, they just do. This is in Scripture. In John's Gospel, Jesus says to Nicodemus, and this is the verdict, that light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. But we, friends, we are different. As disciples, we must be different. We cannot be content to blend in. That's not what we're supposed to do. Jesus just told us twice that you are my representatives. You are my witnesses. We have been sent. We still have the good news of the gospel, and it still has answers to what ails us. At the beginning of John's gospel, which sets the tone for the whole thing, he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The darkness has not overcome the light. Now that light is first and foremost God incarnate, Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light. It is the light of Christ that shines in the darkness of our sin. Jesus calls himself the light of the world. "I am the light of the world," he says. That's what all these candles that we light mean. You and I are called the children of light. And Jesus himself says to us, "You are the light of the world." In its original language, that "you" is emphasized. You are the light of the world, the light of Christ shining within us. And, he says, not to hide the light under a bushel basket, but to put it out so it can be seen by everyone. And the world needs our light. The world needs Jesus. It needs our faith. If we keep hiding our light, is it no wonder that he doesn't shine in these dark places? Now, our world today is comfortable. If you have faith, as long as you keep it hidden, as long as you keep it private and personal. And we fall into this because we don't like conflict, and so we go along our days, and people are none the wiser that we come to Mass at St. Mary's, perhaps. But if we keep it hidden, how then will people's hearts have a chance to be converted if they never see light, if they only then fall into patterns of hate? If we keep it hidden, how will people learn about God? How will they learn that hate has an alternative? Love, and not just any love, unconditional love. The remedy for dark times is always the same: light. Darkness is not something added, but by its very definition, it means that something is missing, something is absent. It's the absence of light. And so the remedy for darkness is light, which is you and me, the light of the world, and the light of Jesus Christ shining through us and in all our actions and words. The remedy for sin is holiness, saints, and every one of us, without exception, is called to that holiness. Now, within each of us who believes, there is a joy. Even in the midst of trials and tragedies, both personal, national, and worldwide, try as he might, the evil one cannot extinguish your interior joy, because God will never be conquered. We walk the path of Jesus Christ, not by using him as some helpful guide on the side, but by making him the number one priority in all things, in all of our choices, our relationships, words, and deeds. In a world of increasing disregard and rejection of public forms of religious faith, especially often it seems ours, of increasing relativism and darkness, will you stand up and be a light in the dark places of the world? We are ambassadors for Christ. For all of us who will accept it, the gospel is the power of God, the power to release people from the burden of their guilt and sin and oppression, and the power to heal, to restore, to make us whole, to change people. Strengthened here by Jesus' body and blood, leave these walls and go. Go out and tell everyone a reason why you still have hope. And don't hold back. Don't hide the light. Jesus Christ is risen and ascended so that you and I can live in the heart of God for all eternity. And isn't that a message worth proclaiming to the whole world? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.